This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, December 10th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll hear what legal issues in the news commentator Amy Guida learned in her short tour as a juror. We'll also get a forecast for the week ahead, an icy forecast from meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, today's news. That ice caused scattered power outages over the weekend, but more may be on the way for East Central Illinois. An ice storm warning stretches across much of the western and northern parts of the state, including Peoria and the Chicago area. The Jacksonville area already has had more than 9,000 people without power. Parts of central Illinois to the west of the ice storm warning are under a freezing rain advisory. This weekend's ice accumulation led to scattered reports of crashes and the temporary closure of Champaign's Marketplace Mall yesterday because of a power outage that lasted a little more than an hour. Illinois should know before the end of the year if an effort to land a major federal coal project is successful. Sean Crawford has more.
At stake are hundreds of construction jobs and the potential to jumpstart the state's struggling coal industry. The project known as FutureGen is billed as the world's cleanest burning coal plant, which could burn high sulfur Illinois coal but capture and store emissions below ground, preventing pollutants from going into the atmosphere. A federal panel deciding on where to locate FutureGen has narrowed down the choices to four sites, two in Texas and two in East Central Illinois, near Mattoon and Tuscola. Illinois' Economic Development Director Jack Lavin says a final decision could come any time after December 17th.
All the sites have been through public hearings, so we don't expect any significant comments to come to slow the process down. So we certainly expect by the end of the year, and we've heard nothing differently about that time frame.
Lavin says FutureGen has been the largest project his agency has worked on in the 5 years he's been on the job. I'm Sean Crawford.
In its first weeks of operation, the online version of Champaign County's Crime Stoppers is already getting tips on crimes and fugitives. Champaign Deputy Police Chief Troy Daniels says they launched the online service on their website in late November because some people are more comfortable contacting police through the internet instead of by phone. The online service also allows tipsters to upload pictures. Daniels says all tips sent in through the website are processed by an outside firm that discards any data identifying the source of the tip before passing it along to police. And with the online tips, Daniel says they can now contact tipsters for follow-up questions without learning their identity.
We can actually ask them questions. They can respond back and forth. And in one particular case involving a drug dealer, this person has communicated with us over 7 times now.
As with tips to Crime Stoppers by phone, online tipsters are assigned a code number so they can receive a reward if their information leads to a conviction. The website for contacting Crime Stoppers is Champaign County Crime Stoppers, one word, .com. That's ChampaignCountyCrimeStoppers.com. Watching the Illinois Supreme Court in action will also soon be only a few mouse clicks away. Amanda Vinicky has that story.
The Illinois Supreme Court is making its proceedings available online. Audio files in MP3 format and video files formatted for Windows Media will be posted no later than the day following the hearing. The court spokesman, Joe Tiber, explains why the Supreme Court decided to put all oral arguments on the web.
The Illinois Supreme Court was considering this for some time as it's continually looked at improving technology to improve justice and to enhance access for those who use the justice system.
In a press release, Illinois Supreme Court Chief Justice Robert Thomas says the technology will provide parties to cases with the record of their appearance before the state's highest court and give the public a better understanding of what the court does. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Unlike trial courts in Illinois, the Supreme Court already allows media outlets to record proceedings. Tiber says this is an extension of that policy. He says the Supreme Court's move to go multimedia does not in any way affect trial courts' recording restrictions, though. Advocates for open access to the media continue to lobby for cameras to be allowed in lower courts. A Grammy Award-winning record label based in Champaign has 3 more chances to strike gold next year. AM 580's Jeff Bossert has more.
Archaeophone Records was founded nearly 10 years ago with the goal of preserving old records and wax cylinders from music's acoustic era of the 1890s through mid-1920s. The husband-wife team of Richard Martin and Megan Hennessy collect the music and repackage it on CD with extensive write-ups on the artists. Lost Sounds, which focused on early black recordings, took the 2006 Grammy for Best Historical Album. On Thursday, the couple and three of their collaborators learned the label was up for three more Grammys. King Oliver, Off the Record, is up for Best Album Notes. Martin says they're among the most important New Orleans jazz recordings ever done.
It marks the time when, you know, when jazz really came into its own, away from some of the very staid and really programmed type of jazz that was on record for the first 6 or 7 years of jazz recording, to now being what people think of as jazz. You know, you've got improvisation, you've got these top-notch players.
Archaeophone also earned nominations for Best Historical Album and Best Album Notes for Actionable Offenses, a series of obscene recordings from the 1890s that have been preserved by the Edison National Historic Site. The 50th annual Grammys will be held February 10th in Los Angeles. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Richard Frederick is more than happy putting his family in jail. Frederick's $42,000 bid Saturday in Sullivan won him the historic brick Moultrie County Jail, cell block and all, and he plans to make it his new home. The two-story building was built in the early 1900s and has a residence in the front that used to house the sheriff. There's a cell block in the back. Frederick says he has an appreciation for historic buildings. He plans to move into the jail with his wife and four children after some interior remodeling. The sheriff's department moved out of the former jail in September and into the new Moultrie County Detention Center. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Last week, commentator Amy Guida talked about her upcoming jury duty. Well, now that she's served as a juror, it opened her eyes to a seeming conflict between the need for privacy and the need for openness in the system. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
Jury service is a puzzling thing. In one way, the jury is shrouded in secrecy and protection. In another way, it's all about public revelation. I didn't realize fully the strange dynamic until last week when I served as a juror. I probably don't need to tell you much about the secret part of jury work, even if you've never served as a juror before. In our big jury assembly room, we knew each other more by number than by name, so we were mostly anonymous. Even when we were chosen for a jury, we couldn't discuss the case until deliberations, so those of us who gathered in a small jury room during breaks in the trial had basically nothing to talk about. Our one certain commonality was off-limits. We were very much strangers. Add to that something called the Jury Secrecy Act in Illinois. The act basically enforces secrecy in deliberations. That means that anyone who observes or records or attempts to record jury discussions is guilty of a crime. Another part of the statute allows a judge to decide not to release the names of jurors to the public if there's a reasonable threat of harm to the jurors. That's somewhat similar to the Juror Protection Act. Under that law, if someone represents himself or herself at trial and that person is found guilty, that person must get special permission before contacting any member of the jury. So you sort of get the sense that throughout a good part of the process, jurors have some privacy. That might not be the best word, but things are secret and anonymous in a sense, quiet at least, and the court can ratchet up the privacy if need be. But step into a courtroom when potential jurors are answering questions about their backgrounds so that attorneys can assess the juror's ability to decide a case fairly, a process called voir dire, and you won't see much concern within the system generally about secrecy or privacy or anonymity. The judges try to be delicate, as did the attorneys I saw, but sometimes subtlety isn't possible. Here's what I mean. When a potential juror fills out a jury form, she's asked whether she or any family members have criminal convictions. On the written form, the potential juror marks a simple yes or no. But in the courtroom, with maybe 50 other potential jurors and other audience members present, she might have to explain in detail what family member was convicted of what crime, or what crime she has on her own record, information no one else may have known about before. Or jurors might be forced to talk about a time when they or family members were victimized and explain to the courtroom exactly what happened. The attorneys might ask about other things in detail, too, all to see if potential jurors will be fair and impartial. It may be a necessary evil, but it's one that a lot of people probably wish didn't have to happen in open court, with 50 strangers they'll be seeing for a while, sitting there listening. That transparency is a good thing, most will certainly say, because it helps the public trust our system of justice. But when weighed against that whole privacy, secrecy, and anonymity thing, I got the distinct sense that some of us in the jury pool would have liked more of that earlier within the trial process rather than later. As one legal scholar and judge put it in an article published just this month about jury information forms and their possible link to juror apathy, "We'd like the public to allow us to return to our private lives as anonymously as we came. And you really don't much recognize the issue until you're a part of it." I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Most of us are not through with the ice, evidently. The National Weather Service says ice storm warnings are in effect for much of west central Illinois for this evening into tomorrow, as far as northwest Illinois as well. And a winter storm watch is in effect for most of north central and northeast Illinois, stretching into northern Indiana. Those will be in effect as early as this evening through tomorrow. The forecast for the two states includes a cloudy sky in the north with patchy fog and freezing drizzle. In central Illinois, clouds and patchy fog in areas of freezing drizzle and light freezing rain. In central Indiana, clouds with fog and rain showers. In the south, clouds and periods of rain. Highs from 25 today in far northwest Illinois to 43 in the far south. Champaign-Urbana will see a high of 31 with occasional light freezing rain in the afternoon and light winds from the northwest. For tonight, look for a cloudy sky in Champaign-Urbana with occasional light freezing rain and freezing drizzle in the evening, more steady freezing rain after midnight, and a low of 29. It'll be cloudy tonight in the far north with a wintry mix arriving overnight. Central Illinois will see clouds and areas of freezing rain, clouds with rain showers in central Indiana primarily after midnight, and periods of rain in the south. For tomorrow, a significant accumulation of ice in many parts of north and west central Illinois for tomorrow. Some sleet will be mixed in across the far north. In east central Illinois and across central Indiana and the south, clouds with just rain, and highs ranging from 28 in northwest Illinois to 66 degrees in the far south. We should see a high in Champaign-Urbana of around 38 degrees, and right now Ed Kieser calls for just rain tomorrow. Clouds with rain changing to freezing rain again tomorrow night, the low 29 in Champaign-Urbana. Periods of freezing rain again on Wednesday with a high of 31. Maybe some snow by Thursday with a high of 32. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, December 10th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.